And we're looking at the what Jesus Christ in his revelation to the churches. We looked at the churches historically as seen in Revelation. We looked at the churches in the future. And we've been to glory, gone all the way to the rapture of the church around the throne of God. And then we're just at the door of chapter 5, which is chapter 6. All the way to chapter 18 has to do with what is going on earth while the church is in glory. We looked at during that period of time, the time of the Gentiles will come to an end. And so we looked at that. The time of the Gentiles, what does that mean? The time that that encompasses, and we saw it was revealed to Nebuchadnezzar, a Gentile king, that it started from him at the end of the Roman Empire, which still is in essence, exists, of course, not in its glorious days, but in most of our Western societies, we live under laws that were created originally in Rome. Even our Senate in the United States is based and called by what the Roman Senate was called. So that is going to be renewed at the time to come. And then we also looked at the time of the Jews. And what a timely message. We are the time of the Jews, and we're going to continue on this road for a little while. You know, there are a lot of lies in the world today. The Bible tells us that the devil is the father of lies. And as a Christian, Paul said to Timothy, "You have known sufficient of the scripture, which ought to make you wise." Now he said to Timothy, "Unto salvation." But the scripture in themselves, if you read the scripture and study it as a believer, it ought to make you wise as to the times in which we live. You know, Herod recognized this. Remember when Christ was born, he wanted to know what is going on, King of the Jews. He went and asked the priestly group, "What did the prophet say concerning this child?" So he the scriptures as a message that was relevant to his time, even though he was a wicked, ungodly man. And so, as believers, let us pay attention to the scripture and what it teaches. You know, I was thinking about this. God is a very transparent God, and he has shown us it's going to happen through the passage of time. It's there. And you know what? We are living in a very exciting time. A lot of scripture is being fulfilled before very eyes. As the world is trembling around us, as a Christian, we can be sure that God, the God of the Bible, has spoken to the prophets. And his word is yea and amen. Did that define assurance? You know, I was sharing with somebody on my job. Hello, the question came up now, so everybody's so excited and afraid. I said, no, there will be. It's not going to go down that way. God is a manager of history, and he's going to down in his own time and in his own way. He wrap things in his own way. Unless God shows it, not one soul will live. So God is going to take it down. It's not the prerogative of man to do that. And so I've been through quite a few things with this young lady trying to explain to her, no, this is what the prophet said. You got to look at the Middle East, look at what's going on. And when I'm done, she said, "You make me afraid." I said, "No, there's no need to fear. There is hope in Christ. If you're in Christ, you are safe." She ran out of my office. Salvation and safety in Christ. You need that more than ever today. That's what the world needs, is Jesus. Again, just to repeat, Daniel, it is God who changes time and season. And we believe that. He removed kings and set up kings. He's the manager of time and history. Though the world is running wild, Men puffed their chests and beat on their chests. It is God that is managing time and history, you know? And we went through that. For example, Saddam Hussein, there was one time he was coming on the gallows. God, this is a management of time and history. You move things and set up things. And we can look at this as a movement. Is there a future for the Jews? Does Israel have a future? Does Israel have a past? When I said Israel, talking about the nation, the people of Israel, collective. What does that future look like? And Israel's purpose is tied up with its past and its future. You know, these are questions that people are asking today. So, come back to this just now. I'm seeing on the news that Israel is surrounded by a circle of fire. That's what Iran is trying to do. You have the Hutus on the south. These are people that cannot even run a country. They are all running mad all over the place. You have Iran in the east. You have Lebanon on the north. You have Hamas on the south. Iran call it a ring of fire. And so people are asking, does Israel have a future? You know, Erdogan of Turkey made a statement this week in his parliament. You may have nuclear bombs, but your end is coming. Your end, imagine that. Turkey should be a friend of Israel. Deal. He came Islamic. Blown Islamic. Iran used to be a friend of Israel. They have a history of being kind to the Jews. Until Islam came in, they are bitter enemies of Israel. And everybody asking the question, because these are relatively dangerous nations. And they're saying it every day. They're going to destroy Israel. This is their song. I just want to go back to what the Bible says. God is a manager of history and a manager of time. Most of all, the Jewish people have a special place in the hand of God. And so I want to continue on the time of the Jews. So Daniel, as he was given his vision in Babylon, now these are people in exile, under the judicial hand of God. They wanted judgment. And Daniel was given a revelation of the nation. What would happen to the nation? And I wonder, he was asking, now, what about our people? What about the people we are here in captivity? And so this was a revelation given to him. I'm going to read it again. We read this before. We're going to read it again. You know, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. This was what he was told. And upon thy holy city. Now, a people, a city, to finish transgression, and we saw the seven objectives of those 70 weeks. All right, we're going to repeat them again. And it's a note, therefore, from the going forth, the command to restore the build Jerusalem, the clock is going to start until Messiah comes. All right? It will be 69 weeks, all right? All right, that is, and then after the 69 weeks, Messiah will be cut off, and the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city, the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end, wars, desolations, and those very few words is wrapped up the whole history of the Jewish people. That is until Christ comes. So they ain't going nowhere. And we've been through this, just a repetition. God has a purpose of Israel, the blessed nation, which they did. To receive and preserve the sacred scripture, which they did. A light to the nations and dispense the knowledge of God to the nations. Again, they failed miserably, yeah, but they will eventually do it. under circumstance where God is going to step in under the ark, that the nation might know that I am the God of Israel. That will be accomplished. You know, when God says he's going to do something, he keeps his word. Whether or not you want, by hook or crook, all the commission's purpose. Whether or not you don't want to do it. Jonah, by hook or crook, he got to be there. And the same is going to happen here. Israel will accomplish all God's purpose for her as a nation. And most of all, deliver the Savior to the world. Child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. And you know, those of people who understand when the prophets are writing things that are now and things that are way into the future, all in one sentence, any time. That's what the prophet is writing. Some things that are going to happen now when he's writing up close or in the near future, and something in the world, and that's this one of those verses. The government of the nation shall be a Jewish thing. That's Jesus himself. Now, I want to stress that. Jesus was a Jew through and through. You hate the Jews, you better hate Jesus. And I want to just speak for those that are everywhere. This is the standard by which God is going to judge the nation. That is going to come immediately under his appearance. And what have you done to the least of these brothers? Those are Jews he's talking about. You've done them to me. And the God of Jesus, there will be a judgment of the nation based on how they deal with the Jews. You look at all the empires gone. The Assyrian Empire, where is it? Gone. You know why? How they treated the Jews. You can read it in the book of Isaiah. Babylonian Empire, gone. But the Jews still remain. These were captive people, abused. Read Psalm 137. When they said, may be done to you as you've done to us. You dash your children against the wall. That was very abusive to the Jews. Where is it? Gone. God has judged every nation that has been harsh to the Jews. Look at all the nations. Britain, for example, where is it? Empire, gone. Spain, gone. They are nations, yes, but they are lackless and weak and struggling. They are under the judicial hand of God because of how they treat the Jews. It's a principle borrowed in history. And in Iraq, I just quote an example. I'm saying these things doesn't help. Iraq, wealthy nation. Saddam Hussein, that was his goal, to destroy the Jewish nation. And he fired all his missiles towards it. Well, gone. The nation is broken. Syria, broken. Lebanon, it's a mess. All the nation. Iran, a lot of people are getting saved in Iran. Thank God for that. But Iran, it's a political mess. It's a dictatorship. Is has lost his glory. Has tried to go harm to the Jews have been broken. It's a lesson of history. You know, and Bible says that I would curse them that curse you. Genesis 1, Genesis 12. You can read it. Okay, let's move on. I just want to lay some foundation as we continue on the subject of the Jews. Satan hate this nation. This is the spiritual war of the Bible. What's that's going on? A lot of demonic forces are involved. We know this again. Daniel tells us, Prince of Persia, Prince of these are demons that are influencing the nations. What you see going on, all the hatred and all the lies that have been told. There are spirits of demons that are influencing men and governments. God would have to show up, physically show up, to defeat the forces of evil. Look over in Revelation 12. Satan hate this nation. She brought forth a man child who was to rule the nation with a rod of iron. That is his purpose. God is going to achieve this. The government shall be on his shoulders. The child was called up to God. That's Jesus Christ. His throne. And the woman went into the wilderness and saw a place there for her. That is the devil. And from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river flowing after the woman to sweep away in a torrent. That's the song of these people. Destroy the nation of Israel. Israel is a cancer that should be cut. We hear it all, halls of Congress. It's a song of a lot of people in the world today. But little we don't know, they know they're trifling with not just men, but with God. And you see what happened. The dragon was furious with the woman. Waged war against the rest of her offspring. So this is a spiritual warfare. All right? So keep that in mind as we move along the time of the Jews. Okay. I have God and the people. And we always stress that the eye of God on the ceiling. You know, when God called Abraham, I will lay a great nation on you. That's the people. That's the people. God eyes on that piece of real estate. God promised to give him the land. You know what? In the Wadi of Egypt, the Euphrates, and they never really occupied. They came close to it in under Solomon, but never really occupied. Did God fail? Remember what I said earlier on? When God says, he will achieve it by hook or crook. This is a promise waiting to be fulfilled. God has an eye on the land. In fact, you're going to see just where God said, my land. And he's going to punish the nation for dividing up my land. So we're going to have a crisis with that. They cause a lot of trouble in this. God eyes on the city. That's Jerusalem. The only city on the earth which God's city. Great is the Lord and great to be praised in the city of our God. That's Jerusalem. In the mount of his holiness, beautiful situation, whole earth is Mount Zion. That's Jerusalem is talking. God has a city, and in fact, it is there where God is going to set up his metropolis to rule. Keep that in mind. God has his eye on people. God has his eye on the land. Very important. They were promised land. He will not promise land. We were promised glory. God has his eye on the city of Jerusalem. Verse later on. Jerusalem is a burden that God is going to put around the necks of the nations. Those who are talking about to destroy Israel, they don't understand the scripture. All right, I just want to grab this quickly. That is what was first according to Genesis. The wilderness of Egypt. All the way, that's wrong. All the way, so all these countries are supposed to be Syria, part of Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon. Look at what they do by the justice. Imagine that. That's a very little do they occupy right now. Very little, actually. I was looking at the square footage. That's the next slide. Total area of the Middle East is over 7 million square kilometers. And they're all mostly Islam. Israel occupied 20 square kilometers. And that is approximately 3.3% of that vast landscape. Yet, you know what? Why this piece of land? Why everybody so hell-bent to take it? They are all 7 million square kilometers. They are just 20.3%, not even 1%. And yet they cannot live in that piece of land in peace. It's all satanic. But this is where God has promised to establish his kingdom in the millennium, right here. That real estate that we just looked at there. That is going to encompass it, and it's going to be done by the hook or the crook. All these nations are going to disappear. In fact, these nations did not exist. Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Iraq, before 1945, 1948, Britain created all these countries. Yet everybody is obsessed with Israel. How about Jordan? They were not there. Iraq was not a country. Before 1945-43, East England created Iran, Lebanon. Yet everybody saying the Jews were not supposed to be colonizers. Everybody is colonizers by that definition. But that is not so called in the scripture. They are not occupiers. The people living there are occupied. They occupy there. God gave them one day. God's going to make it happen. Right? As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord speaks, every word of the Lord will be fulfilled. So just a little bit of history, you can go check it on your own. 1%. The Lord has grand purposes for this promised real estate. The devil knows it and hates it. And again, God has not kept his purpose a secret. It's full of that same scripture, and you can know it's there. Read the scripture, it's there. God has made his purposes known. And so there is this constant fight and tug and push against his purpose. You know what? God is mightier than the devil. All right, so we look at the over 70s. I'm going to repeat that again. So we just want to look at some key points before we jump right in. We want to look at after the 60s. So again, 7 weeks of Daniel 9 refers to the Jewish people. Let's make that very clear. God has a purpose for the Jewish people. Your people for city as Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. For the 69 week, Messiah is presented to the people. We saw that. That was April. Today, according to the promise, calculated in days, today, the very day, based on the number of years, Christ is presented as Jewish Messiah. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That was on the 69 week. There is after the 69 week, Messiah was cut off, right? So, before we get into that, cutting off of Messiah, I want to spend it on the tears of Jesus. The second time that they read in scripture, Jesus wept. You know? Let me grab notes of silence. Jesus wept. Yes, second time. Jesus wept. And that is in Luke 19:41. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ wept. Let's read it. You don't have to turn. Some people don't like them turning. There's a lot of references. And I copy them also. That's okay, this is just a picture of looking from Mount of Olive to Jerusalem. Take off the blue on the rock. This is Islamic on the rock here. Islamic
You know, the modern buildings that have gone up all the high rise. You know, I was standing on a very vantage point looking down the city of Jerusalem. As God was presenting the nation as Messiah of Israel. And look, these are his words. So it tells us in Luke 19, 41. He came near, behold the city, and wept over it. Think about that. He wept. Could you imagine the God of glory who knew all things? He literally, I believe it's an intensity. When somebody is weeping, it suggests an intense crying. I want you to just imagine. He looked at the city below. And he wept over the city. And this is what he says. Remember, we're looking at now the cutting off of Messiah after the 69 weeks. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, things which belong unto thy east. He's speaking to the nation of Israel. The peace is going to go. And it would be gone for a long time. Still in that period. The peace of Jerusalem is gone. And Jesus saw it. He saw the horror that would befall his people. They committed a crime that was unthinkable. And he wept over the nation. He cried. He said, but now, they are hid from your eyes. And he pronounced a judgment. He said, for the nation, the day shall come. An enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass it and keep thee on every side. It's all about Roman compass now. Lay thee on the ground, thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee unto one soul of another is cast down, because thou hast not known my visitation. Jesus has wept over the city. And he went to the temple and he started casting out. Made my house and thieves. Jesus Christ is weeping over the nation. That's just the day he was called. Go over that. After 69 weeks, Messiah will be cut off and it happened. Cut off means it's a violent. Of kings of it. And we know that this was the prophet was writing this hundreds of years before. So they're fording writing on after the 9 weeks. We were running, look at that last week. Let's continue. Execution of Messiah, it was cut off violently. The suspension of reckoning time. Talk about that. Okay? Destruction of the city and the sanctuary. Judgment. Desolation and war. That is still ongoing. Desolation and war. So when the Lord was speaking, he was prophesying what's going to happen to the Jews for the next 2,500 years. You could imagine the pain in his heart. He knew this. What they have done, what they will be doing, what they were about to do. Going to initiate the judicial hand of God. And for a second time, they will be exiled from the land. We know what happened, how this played out. Right? AD 70. Right? Roman army moved through under General Titus, destroyed the city, destroyed the temple. 60,000 Jews. They said the bodies were moving out of that city by the gates. You can go find it. Just beginning of the ritual. They were moving bodies out by the hundreds. That's what he said here. What does that mean? In spite of that, the eye of God is upon his feet. Take his eye off of him. No, he has not. Cutting off a Messiah. So Isaiah wrote about this in about 740 BC. Right? Daniel is right. And I'm using the very same words over 200 years at least after that. So we see the consistency of scripture. Messiah will be cut off. Not for himself, nothing. Now, Paul, Peter gave a little bit of a description of this in the Acts, and Brian read that last week, and I said, wow, this is interesting. Acts 2:35-36, where we saw Peter laid this indictment at the feet of the Jewish leadership. All right, and you read language, you have killed the author of life, which is ironic. Talk about that, right? And we go to Acts 5, you read all these verses. Peter repeated on a different occasion, repeat the indictment that you have done this. You have killed the Holy One of God. Cut off. It was laid squarely at the feet of the Jewish nation. Now, that gives us no right to exercise vengeance on the Jews. But that has been something that church fathers have done for years and the source of a lot of anti-Semitism. That is not our business. That's God. It's a God of vengeance. We have no business with that. We talk about Martin Luther King. That is what motivated him to speak to the fire of the Jews. But Jesus killers. Nonsense. God is going to take care of that. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ before Pilate said, you don't know how to do it at all. Listen to what he said. They that deliver me to you, they have the greater sin than the Jews. What they did was a terrible thing. On top of that, they said, his blood be on us and our children. And it was sold for over 2,500 years. God didn't hate the Jews. Ever did. He's exercising judicial judgment. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself again in John, listen to what he says, and I'm doing this so you don't have to be jumping around. Listen to what he says again. He said, oh, Jerusalem, again, when he cried out in Matthew, I think it was Matthew 23. He says there that, try to avoid it. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he said, you who have killed the prophets and have done all that I have said to you. Trying to find it. This is Matthew 23. Try to organize it here so I will not be jumping around, but just make,
So,
read a lot of me, Jim. I'm sorry about that. I thought I had it written here to avoid this.
Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophet, the stones those were accepted. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you have no. See, your house is left to you desolate. I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yes. That's a judgment declared and pronounced. Yes, he said before that verse, he said, you will be charged with the blood of Jesus and Abraham and all the prophets unto this day. Imagine the blood of all of these righteous would be laid at the feet of this presentation. That's a lot of judgment. He said, you have killed the prophets. Committed crime. Murdering the Savior. Remember Peter, this is at the words of Stephen. seeing as he again pronounced indictment on the nation. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you all resist the Holy Ghost, as your father did. So, which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted, and they have slain them? Shew before the coming of the just and holy one, of whom you have been now become the betrayers and murderers. That's the child. Israel was for 2,500 years plus. He was sent into exile. Nation to nation, persecuted, abused, misused. You know, I was hearing the day where they had this anti-Semitic protest in the Congress and so on, and the leader of the House, he went into a repeating different countries from which the Jews were expelled, such great, threat from Spanish, from Switzerland, and he went and it's interesting, that is so true. It's immensely, and it's right back to this. This was judicial judgment. But you know what? God hasn't forgotten his people. It's not. In fact, so Daniel, this is what Daniel is talking about here. Wars and desolation, it runs up now. So we have the rod of the nations. God is going to use the rod of the nations. Right? That's what Jesus says about here. Luke 20, so on. We read that in Matthew 23. He pronounced nation, but he prophesied judgment is to come, the rod of the nation. You know, when Solomon sinned, not Solomon, David, actually, Solomon, God told David that I have the power to him. And when he sins, I will use the rod of the nation. Bring him back in line. Find it in 2 Samuel something. Similarly, God has used the rod of the nation against his people. For 2,500 years, they have been under the rod of the nation. In spite of that, if you read Jewish history, they have prospered under that. You know, I've been doing some reading of their history. The Jewish people were the first people to see money as a commodity. They were already, many of them were very rich. They have paid and supported and salvaged the Spanish courts. These are rich Jews that literally supported the government in times of war. Right in the United States, Hyman Solomon. Remember Hyman Solomon? Anybody know Hyman Solomon? Go read it. He saved George Washington during the Revolutionary War. He financed and prevented the collapse of that campaign. Hyman Washington. In fact, he ran himself into poverty because of that. He's dead. That is a plaque to his memorial in Philadelphia. Hyman Washington Solomon, a Jew that saved revolution. Independence rule of the United States. So, and this is the story. Go read the history. God has blessed, in spite of the wandering judgment, God has blessed these people in spite of the wandering and the scattering. Rich with history. So they're one of the run of the nation. But there's also the gathering of Israel. You know, it is the most frequent predicted prophecy in the Bible that God will bring them back to the land by hook or by the crook. Jeremiah 16 talk about that. The days will come that I shall for we said the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, the land wherein they have been driven. I will bring them again into their land that I gave their fathers. And this is what he said in verse 16. I will send fishermen, said the Lord, and they shall fish them. And I will send many hunters, and they shall hunt every mountain and every hill, and all of every rock, and they will get back to the land. You know what God is just speaking and hunters? All violence that they suffered in the nation, that has given them a motive to come back to their own land. And so that was a problem. Because of what, in fact, this has always been the Jews' desire. They wanted a country way back away. Right? And they've always tried to migrate or prevent it either by Islam under the Ottoman Turks. They limit the migration of Jews. Under the British mandate, they limit the migration of Jews. Britain have a price to pay, you know. They've done wrong by this. They don't pay the price. God has seen it. Ultimately, 1948, they were stabbed. God is going to bring them back to the land by hook or crook. And he has used the sufferings that is suffered at the hands of the nation as a magnet to bring back in. In fact, recently with the Russian invasion, Ukraine, let them come to their home. From all of Europe, let them come home. And France and all this country were upset. They suffer a lot of anti-Semitism. France, you know what? Islamic fact. That's the problem. You know, recently, I have seen he has become like the Ayatollahs. That's what he says. He said the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians is a war between Christians and Muslims. He's spiritualizing. Right? It's a matter of cross. So they added that you may have many nuclear bombs to want, speaking to Israel. Whatever you possess, you are a god. And they stood up and made standing ovation in the church. This is what they're saying. Putin. He said Israel is not entitled, as we said, not wrong, he said that. Matthew. Putin is not entitled to secure for occupying power. Imagine Putin is saying that. He just made it a story. But this is also the time. This is where it goes. All right, so this is again another promise. God is saying, the second time and the last time I will gather them back. Shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, without a temple. Many days, 2,500 years. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. I will return them to their home, declares the Lord, and I will bring back the captivity of my people of Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine thereof. They shall make gardens and eat the fruit of them. I will plant them upon their land and shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them. The scripture is abundant with promises of the gathering of Jews. And what is going on around today? The Bible is just being fulfilled before your eyes. 1948 is the biggest miracle of the world. You know, it was one of those French kings asked one of the scientists there, I think it's Louis Pasteur, he said, does something like this? Let's get it here. It's King Louis, XIV, I don't know what that is, I can't remember. My brain is running fast. 14th. He asked, blessed Pascal, a great Christian philosopher, to give him proof of God. And Pascal answered, why? The Jews, your majesty, the Jews. He said, the fact that the Jews have survived
while many other nations have disappeared, point to the protection over the ages. You see, God has made a promise, and we see it being fulfilled before us. And you know what? The devil is not. And we see all of them, even on our streets. It is unbelievable the amount of anti-Semitism in the United States, in the Western world. You know, we didn't know it was so bad. But this is satanic. You know, it is satanic. The devil is deceiving people with lies. They are liars. They are this and they are fighting with God. You know, and we're going to see this at some point. They are standing together. Iran, Turkey, and Russia. You know the Bible has these dating. Russia, Persia, Goma, and other nations, they want to come against Israel. Here they are standing. It's unbelievable. Time is very near with me. They're standing on the same stage. All about Israel, they have a conference going. Turkey, Russia. This is where the Bible says God is going to make it. He will stone nations. He will literally stone nations. But I'm going to get to that eventually. When we look at the great wars, God is going to stone the nation. Divine protection assured. And what Zechariah says, I'm almost done. Tell him wrong. Speak to this. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as a town. Your walls. But men and cattle dairy, for I said the Lord, is everything the Lord is speaking here. Will be unto her a wall of fire. They have a ring of fire. God has a wall of fire on this. And will be the glory in our midst. You know, God has spoken. And he means exactly what he says. You know, on the day that Israel was declared as an independent state, David Ben Gurion, this is an inaugural statement. This is what he said. There's a lot here that we can wrap it up. No, he said, Ezra Israel, meaning the land of Israel, was the birthplace of the Jewish people. Here, their spiritual, religious, and cultural identity were shaped. This is speaking when Israel was declared. Here, they first attained statehood, create cultural value of national and universal significance, and gave the book the eternal books. After being forcibly exiled from their land, this is inaugural speech. The people kept their faith, their dispersion, and never ceased to pray and hope that they return to it and for the restoration of it in their political freedom. This is David Ben-Gurion, just as the scripture says. And he then knew that Netanyahu is a very biblical man. He read his Bible, that's what we're told. Somebody visited, he reads his Bible, of course, notice regularly. He's very familiar with his history. That's why he knows where the nation has to go and what the nation must do. I don't even like him. He knows what the nation has to do. Impelled by this history and tradition, you show every successive generation established themselves in an ancient homeland. Recent decade, they are returning their masses, right? Pioneered immigrants and so on. The Hebrew language revived, building villages and towns, etc. And he talked about the fact that the catastrophe that the Jewish people and the massacre of millions was a clear demonstration of willing to solve the problem of homelessness by reestablishing the land of Israel, the Jewish state, which will open the gates open and wide for every Jew and comfort every Jewish people to stand the full privilege of members of the community of nations. Then he's talking about the fact that it's a long speech. And this is what he said. We appeal to the
further rally around the Jews, the land of Israel, immigration, stand by them, the struggle, and so on. There was a part of it talk about the rock of Israel referring to God. He recognized God as the rock of Israel. That's biblical. In this speech, again, I can't find it right now, it's too late. But then, God is doing what he said he would do. He's going to gather the nation back to their homeland. And it's happening before our eyes. But the devil hates it. And we see all the threats of violent war. You know? But we know Israel is under the protection of God. God said he's going to put a wall of fire around the people. Now, Ezekiel is talking. We're not going to get into this, but there's so much of scripture that this is what God says. The day is going to come, and he says here, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, said the Lord, that my fury shall come in my face. That's going to happen. God's literally going to be fighting. He's going to protect his people. And you know what? See those three people that we show in the pictures? Persia, Goma, and Gog, Magog, Russia. They'll be part of that. They will experience the fury of God over the hatred of the Jews. All right, so I'm going to stop there. Next time around, we're going to look at the great wars to come. Look at the great. We are still within that period after the 1980s. Wars and desolation. We're still in that period of time. We haven't gone into the 1978 week yet. We're still in the after the 69 week. It's a huge gap of time. Over 2,500 years. God is doing something in our day that 100 years ago, people were wondering, how would this happen? But it has happened, because God said, may the Lord bless us and help us as we study the word, that we would be wise. Right? There are a lot of foolish people God has a program, God has a plan. His plan will be accomplished. May the Lord help us. Sorry for a long time.
Brother Father, how are we? Thank you for your word, which we see as the word that performs miracles, as we see the nation of Israel is the oldest nation that has been going on for so many centuries. And we see your hand in all of this. We see your word is fulfilled, the prophecies of Old Testament scriptures being fulfilled daily, and we thank you that we have confidence, not only for Israel as your chosen people, but for the one who came through the line of Abraham and those descendants, the Lord Jesus himself, who came to bring about peace in the hearts of people in the world that is in turmoil. Thank you that those promises of the Lord Jesus are just as true today for us. Give us peace that is beyond understanding. Peace that we sometimes can't comprehend, because in spite of the turmoil, we know that he is with us. These promises will be fulfilled just as it was and is with Israel, and they will come and we will be with them. While we pray that you help us, in spite of all that's going on, standing firmly, moving forward, using the opportunities that we give. Just want to thank you for this message, which is something that opens our hearts and minds. See how the scriptures are truly being fulfilled. We pray that you'll help us to be more involved in reading the scriptures and having these things in our hearts and minds. And ourselves now to you. We thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sorry for running over the time.